You guys got plenty of time, right? Because I'm going to go from Genesis to Revelations. We'll be here till about 5. That's okay? If you think Jake can go, maybe wait till you see this. No, I'm not. I'm just teasing. Okay, we're going to go to chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 26. And what I want to do is, God has a testimony that he's delivered to us down through the ages, you know. And he's always shown us through the ages that he is God. He is the creator of heaven and earth. And there's nothing that was made that he didn't make. And it just blows me away sometimes when I think about what God has created, you know. It's like, how did God come up with all these different people, different looks, different hair color, all this stuff? He came up with animals, the trees, everything you can imagine. It's like, this is some awesome, awesome person or spirit, however, he's God. And it just blows me away. So God, in Genesis 26, he goes, let us, that's not singular, that's us, plural, right? The Trinity, right? Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish and the sea and the birds and the air, over the air, livestock, over all earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. God created man in his image. In the image of God created him, male and female he created. Now think about that. We're created in God's image. So what does that mean? That we look like God? You know, we have God's spirit inside of us, right? We are in God's image. God created us. He gave us a mind. And we're all different types of people. So now let's go over to the next page. Well, mine's the next page. Yours might not be. We're going to go to chapter 3. And this is where Adam and Eve are in the garden. And God created the serpent, right? Now this serpent is not what we think is a snake, right? We say serpent's a snake. You know, this is Satan trying to deceive Eve, which he does, by the way, which we all know, right? And Adam. You know, Adam should have been right on top of this, but he wasn't. You know, because God told him, hey, don't eat of this tree, right? In verse 16 of chapter 2, God says, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Now, he wasn't talking about a physical death. He was talking about spiritual death. Because in the Garden of Eden, they had it made, right? Naked, my kind of life, right? Just, you know, don't have to worry about clothes being too hot or too cold, nothing. Everything was perfect there. But because of this, right, and God warned them. And so now we go over to chapter 3. And the serpent was the most crafty, more crafty, I should say, than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, now get this, did God really say? What is he trying to do right there? Did God really say? What does Satan do to us? He tries to put doubt in our mind by saying things just the right way, like an attorney does. They got to word it the right way so that the judge thinks, oh yeah, that's right, you know, this, you know. Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? You notice he doesn't say the tree of life. He says any tree. Right? Eve goes, what? You know. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say, so she's correcting, you know, God did say this, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Now she repeated what God had said, and yet, "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Big mistake, amen? And we all do it. Satan comes to us in that special, crafty way in our lives. And we're different, by the way. You know what I mean? You might fall to this. I might fall to that. She might fall to this. And you might fall to that. But the system is the same, you know? God doesn't love you. See? If he loved you, he would do this. Or he would do that, you know, this and that, you know? And that's how Satan comes to us, right? But, you know, our God is powerful and mighty, and we can do anything in Christ. Amen? We can do anything in Christ, right, who strengthens us. So, in Exodus, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance or the salvation of the Lord. Will bring you today, the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." God's going to take care of our enemies, right? But we have to trust him. We have to believe in him. And Satan has tried to, he's really tried to break God and destroy God's plan, right? All down through the ages. Like, for example, in Genesis, he deceived Adam and Eve, right? And then from that point on to Noah, we got so bad, we were so full of sin that God had to destroy the earth, but yet God still saved a certain amount of people to preserve his plan. So Satan tried to deceive, but God saved. Amen? God saved, right? And then from that point on, you know, when we started to populate the earth and everything like that, and there's a lot of people in between here, but you get to Joseph. God tried to deceive, right? Satan tried to deceive, put Joseph in prison. All these things happened to Joseph, all this other stuff. But then God came with the plan to save Israel, save his plan, you know. And what happened, right? They go to Egypt. Now they got it made. Now there's a different king. There's a different Pharaoh. There's different things happening in their lives. And what happens? They start to falter again. So they're in bondage. Now God comes up with another plan. He brings Moses, right? And what happens there? Moses, Satan tries to deceive, you know. But God, I'm not able. I'm not educated. I'm not this. I'm not that. And God says, well, I'm going to send Aaron with you, you know. Aaron evidently was a lot more educated than Moses, and he could speak. He was a good, you know, as Tavia said in the movie of Fiddler on the Roof, you know, when he was talking about something, and the guy says, no, that was Moses that said that. Then another, he said, no, that was Moses that said that. And Tavia said, man, for a guy that's slow of speech, he sure talked a lot. You know, so it's like, you know, so Aaron was the speaker for Moses. See, God, every time we falter, God comes up with a plan. He's there for us. He's got another way of doing it for us, you know. We just have to sit back like Moses said. Stand and be still and watch, you know, for the salvation of the Lord. Wait on God. Wait on God's plan, whatever it is in your life that you're going through. You need to wait on God's plan because he has one for you. And we're so impatient, at least I am anyways. I know you guys are perfect and you don't, you know, you're not impatient, but I'm impatient in a lot of things, you know, because let's go get it done, you know. But then there's times where, oh no, I don't want to go do that. You know, you just got all this procrastination that you do. And why? Why do you have that procrastination? Because you're listening to the wrong God. you're listening to the wrong God, you know. And guilty. I'm guilty. You know, so many times I have done that in my life. I have listened to the wrong God. And because of that, I failed. Not in God's eyes, you know, because God loves me. He's always going to be there for me. And I'm so thankful for that, you know. I'm so thankful for that. That God is there for me, and He's there for you, and every one of us. You know, and I just love the power that God has. I mean, wouldn't you just love to say, you know, I need a new recliner, and there it is, shows right up. You know? Wouldn't you like to have that kind of power? You know, God says, hey, man, let's make man. Boom, there he is, you know. It's just amazing to me. So Moses, he doesn't want to go. But God convinces Moses that, hey, you're the man. I chose you. In fact, I protected you in the little ark that they built from Satan. Satan tried to destroy Moses, right? Remember the king? Kill all the men, children. But God's got a plan, right? God, and before Satan makes that decision, God already says, hey, this kid, you know, build him, you know, let him float down the river. And of all people, who finds him? The Pharaoh's daughter. You know, the one that's trying to kill him, his daughter finds him. And the way God works, he says, okay, Satan, I'm going to backfire this on you because you're going to raise the deliverer, Moses, in your castle. You're going to teach him how to read and write and all this other stuff, right? But it was the fear that Moses had when God says, you're going to go back to Egypt. Because he knew they were after him, right? Because he killed that Jew and everything like that. So it was like, I can't do it, God. God says, yes, you can. No, I can't do it. Yes, you can. I'm going to send someone with you, Moses. I mean, Aaron. Now, I just find that, wow. You know what, God? Next time I got a problem, I want you to send Tom with me. Let Tom take the rap, you know. You know, I'll just sit there and watch, right? Bring Brent with me. You know, he can protect me. So they, you know, Moses goes before the king, and what happens? God ends up bringing Israel out of bondage, right? The salvation plan brings them out of bondage. And they get to the Red Sea, and Moses holds up the staff. They part the Red Sea, you know, God parts the Red Sea, and they cross on dry land. They cross on dry land. And then he says, hey, you see these Egyptians? This is the last time you're going to see them. They follow after him. Red Sea collapses on them, and they drown, and they're all killed. It's like, wow. And I heard one time that someone said, well, that's not really that great a miracle because it was only 6 inches deep. And Greg Laurie says, well, that's even a greater miracle because all those horses and people drowned in 6 inches of water. So, you know, you cannot outdo God. That's the point here. You cannot outdo God. God's testimony is there. It's always been there, you know. Moses and the Hebrews, when they were in the desert, you know, they set up the ark. And there's three things they put in that ark, and it was the Ten Commandments, the tablets, the Ten Commandments. 10 laws. That's all, guys, just 10 laws. And they were written, why? To show us that we couldn't live by those 10 laws. But yet today, what do we got, 50 billion laws? You know? How are you going to live by that if we couldn't live by simple 10 laws? You know, and even when Jesus came, he made it too. You know, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophet. So it's like, wow, just two. And look, we can't even do that. You know, we're powerless without the power of God in us. We're just powerless. So from Moses, you know, they moved on. We went to David, right? King David now. And what happened? Satan tried to kill David by the king Saul, who was supposed to be a godly man. He was supposed to be Israel's king. And he gets jealous of David. You know, Satan just, you know, and he's trying to kill David, right? What ended up happening? We all know. God saves David, right? To preserve the bloodline, God saves David from all of this stuff. And David becomes king. And he's like the scrawniest one in the family. And, you know, it's like it's the last person that they thought would be a king of Israel. You know, they wanted this king, but David, in their eyes, he wasn't the king. You know, they wanted that impressive-looking guy, Saul, and, you know, big, muscular, you know, kind of like me. I was just seeing if you guys are awake. But, you know, and it's just amazing how David, you know, God says, or the Bible says that he's a man after God's own heart. Now, why is David a man after God's own heart, right? Isn't he the one that committed adultery? Isn't he the one that had the soldier, her husband, killed in the battle, put him on the front line? Isn't he the one that did all these things? But yet God says that he's a man after his own heart. Even though David did those things, David, inside his heart, he was seeking God, you know. That's where I want my heart to be, and I know that's where you guys want to be. Seeking God, searching after God, following God, doing what God says to do and not questioning it. You know, like the military, go do this, you get up and you go do it. Don't give questions, just do what God wants you to do, not what other people are doing, you know, what God wants you to do personally in your life. Because you got a problem, I got a problem, and God's going to solve the problem in our lives if we're willing to listen and to do and to move on what God says us to do. When he told me I was going to marry my wife, I moved on it. Big mistake. Big mistake. Why? Because I moved on it when I thought it was time to do it, not when he told me. So she jumped down my throat and yelled in my face. I'm not ready for that kind of relationship. You just be my friend. So I went back to the Lord and I said, hey, you know what? You told me, you know. And then and I went, and he goes, did I tell you to go tell her that? No. I didn't tell you to go say nothing. You just do what I tell you to do and I will take care of her. Okay. And that's what I did, you know. And God did some amazing things through her and I. You know, I just couldn't believe that when I took the time to listen to God and to do what God said to do in his time, not my time, everything just fell into place, you know. And when she finally said yes, that's enough. I was in my apartment. It was Sunday night after church, and I had a roommate, Billy, and I was sitting there for a couple of minutes, and I always used to tell her when she got home to call me so I knew she got home safely. And my heart just started jumping inside me. And I says to Billy, I go, you know what, Billy, something's wrong. I says, I don't know what it is, I said, but I'm going to go look for her. And Billy says, no, he goes, you just, he says, she may have stopped for milk or bread or something on the way home. And I said, yeah, you know what, you're right. She does that once in a while. Couldn't have been 30 seconds. I go, no, Billy, something is wrong. Now, think about this. While I'm having this nervous breakdown, my wife is broke down on the side of the road with her youngest son, and she says to her youngest son, roll the windows up, lock the doors, let's sing. And she's singing praise songs. Now, Bob talked last night, said that when you're in trouble, sing praise songs. And God will, you know, he loves that. And the Lord does. And her son goes, what are you doing? She goes, don't worry. Manny will be here in a few minutes. And I said, So Billy, I says, no, Billy, I go, something's wrong. I says, I'm going to go look for her. If she calls, just tell her where I went. He goes, okay. I got around the corner about a half mile, three quarters of a mile away from my apartment, and there she was, broke down on the side of the road. Now, I didn't know that, right? But my wife knew that I was coming. And I thought, that's pretty brave that the, you know, help's on its way. Why? Just because you're singing a praise song, help's on its way? No. It's because when you're singing a praise song, you are singing God's word. You are totally in concentration with Him. You're not looking all over the place. You're not thinking about all these other things. You're thinking about God and God alone. And God delivered her. You know, and it was like, wow, this is amazing. Tried to get her tire fixed. Well, she didn't have a spare. Well, she did, but it was flat too, so we couldn't get it. Well, these were hard times then, you know. And I says, well, all I had was a company truck. And she called it the banana truck because it smelled like paint. You know, it was a paint truck. So, and I said, well, I'll give you a ride home. So son's between me and her, and we're riding home. And, you know, it shows you how much I'm thinking about all this stuff because I'm a big dummy, especially when it comes to romance and stuff like that. You know, I'm a guy. I'm a man. I don't, you know what I'm saying? I'm a self-made man. I don't need this stuff. I'm, you know, I can do anything. Yeah, okay. So she says to me, she goes, you know what? I go, what's that? She goes, I really appreciate you. And I go, oh, wow. I go, I appreciate you too. You know? Didn't think much about it. Got to her house, dropped her off. I just take, and I wash my hands, you know, because I was handling the spare tires. My hands are all dirty. She goes, sure, come on in. So I get in there and I wash my hands, and I'm going to step out the front door, and I got the door open. And I look up, I see the stars, the sky, and how pretty it is and everything like that. And I let this sigh out. She goes, what's the matter? I go, what I really wanted to do is just grab her, hug her, and kiss her. But she told me to be her friend, and that's it. Not to be her romance, not to be this whatever, you know. And I go, oh, nothing. I says, I'll call you tomorrow. And as I started to step out the door, God in His power, she grabbed me, turned me around, and gave me a kiss, right? And it was like from that point on, you know, God showed to me that this is the woman that you're going to marry, and now is the time to say, I love you. Now is the time to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Now is the time to move. Like He said to Joshua, it's the time. Wait. It's the time. Wait, Moses. It's the time. Whatever. You know, wait on the Lord God Almighty, and you will have deliverance, and you will glorify Him, and you will be overcome whatever it is in your life. You know. And I don't know how to say that any plainer. But God protected the bloodline through David, right? Went all the way through. There's a lot more characters from David on to Jesus. And then he comes to Jesus, and what happens? Satan tries to stop that too, right? Satan interferes with Judah and everything like that. But God all along has this plan. Look, Satan, you can do whatever you want. But you are not going to overcome me because why? Because I created you. And I created you to have fellowship with me. But you chose your way. And you're not going to outsmart me. You're not going to outdo me. Because why? Because I am the Lord, like He's told Israel many times. I am the Lord, your God. And until you worship me, you're going to have misery in your life. You're going to be a miserable person. Especially if you know the Lord and you're in a backslidden stage. You're the most miserable person out there. A non-believer, he don't care. But someone that believes and is not following God is in a miserable state in their life. And that's a pure fact. And I know, not because I'm so intelligent, because I've been there. I did that, you know. And when I finally came to my senses, that's when God moved in my life and brought me Patty. and my stepchildren and my own daughter. And I mean, it's just amazing what God has done. You know, he has truly blessed me. And I am not an educated man. I never finished high school. I never went to college. I never did any of those things. When I grew up in a home that had two different, you know, cultures. You know, I was born in Portugal. I came here. I was 18 months old. I don't remember anything over there. But the culture, my mom and dad and my older brother and sister, you know, they came from that culture. They know that culture. I had to grow up in that culture, knowing this culture, and coming to America and knowing this culture. By the time I learned how to talk English, the kids that were in first grade with me, they're like 2 years ahead of me. And when I got held back 1 year, I just cried my eyes out because I was so hurt that I flunked. And I thought, why? You know, why can't I understand this English or this? I'll tell you why. Because when you grow up on the East Coast, you talk different. You know, you have this accent that people all the time make fun of you, which is fine. I don't care because I get a kick out of it. But I would like to talk different, but I can't. You know, so I'm not going to try. So tough. Deal with it, right? Deal with it. Anyways, you know, Satan tries to destroy Jesus. And then what happens? Jesus, through the blood sacrifice, saves his people. Through the blood sacrifice, saves his people. He gave his life for us, right? He shed his blood for us, right? He went to the cross and took the beating for us. That just blows me away. How can God love someone like me and you and do that? How can he do that, you know? Because prior to knowing Christ, I didn't care one iota about it. You know what I mean? I heard about him in the Catholic Church. You know, they taught us all this stuff about how Jesus died on a cross for you, how he rose on the third day and went to heaven and sit at the right hand of the Father, and that he was the Son of God. But I didn't know him. I did not know who he really was and what he really, really did. And so God's testimony has been telling us from Genesis to Jesus that, hey, I'm God. I love you. I'm seeking you. I'm coming after you. You're not going to come after me. I'm coming after you. There's not one person here that went to Jesus to get saved. It was because Jesus, by the Spirit of God, drew you to him. That you even heard about him, that you even thought about him, that you even wanted to be with him. You know, and so it's like, it's just amazing. And even the apostles, after Jesus died and rose, right, Jesus came to them, they saw with their eyes the testimony. They saw, and they turned around and told us, right? They wrote books about it. They told stories about it. They told others about it. We have to do the same thing. We're here to tell others about Jesus Christ and what he's done for us and how he can change your life if you'll only listen to his voice and accept the truth about who he really is and what he really did and why he really came. Amen? Amen. So it's an important fact. And you go to the, you know, all the apostles and Paul, you know, you can't sit here and say, well, he won't love me because I'm too big of a sinner. It's not true. I mean, in my life, the things I did, you know, I've lied. I should say that every day. That's the, you know, you can't spend the day without lying some way or some form, because that's in our nature. We just, you know, you stretch the truth a little bit, you're lying. So either you got to be totally blunt and say the truth 100% of the time. And if you're capable of that, stand up so we can all have a laugh, because I know you can't, you know? And I'm not saying this to be, you know, I'm just saying because I know in my life I can't do that, right? I've lied, I've stole, I've been in jail, I've outrun the police, you know, speeding tickets, whatever, you know? I didn't care until Jesus. And you know how Jesus came? I got arrested. And I wasn't serving my jail time yet, but the probation officer, she told me, she goes, well, I can see that you're not a hardened criminal, you know, you're not a whatever, you know. And she says, but they have this program where you can work and still feed your family, but you get out of jail in the morning, you go to work, you come back after you go to work, and you go back to jail until your term is all up. And so I got but the thing of it is you have to get a job, and you have to tell the guy or the person you're going to work for that you're incarcerated. You know, you're what you are and what you did. In other words, you have to cop out to that person. And it was amazing. And like I said, God delivers you. Because I knew what I was doing was wrong. I knew all the things that was happening, that I was wrong. And so I got a job in a gas station. And their son just shows you how God works to deliver. He worked at a Mercury Lincoln dealer. He was a mechanic, but he was tired of working for them. The dad had a mechanic at the gas station for years. He retired, so the son came to work for the dad. He left a little booklet on the showroom shelves, the four spiritual laws. I was sitting there because I worked the graveyard shift. I was sitting there, and I picked up the book, and I kind of read it, and I kind of understood, but I didn't really grab the whole thing, you know. So he comes to work the next morning, and he meets me for the first time, and he says, hi, my name's Walt, you know, just introducing himself. And he goes, have you ever heard of the four spiritual laws? And I go, what? He goes, the four spiritual laws. I go, oh, you mean that book on the shelf in the showroom? He goes, yeah. I said, yeah, I read it last night. I said, it's kind of interesting, but I don't really understand. He goes, you want to go to church with me on Sunday? And he was in a Baptist church, you know, Magnolia Baptist Church in Anaheim. And I said, yeah, I'll go. So I went, and they have Sunday school. And the whole church goes to Sunday school. It's not like, you know, they separate. Everybody goes to Sunday school. And this guy, Pete, his name was Peter. And he was the instructor, the teacher, and he went through the four spiritual laws. And then when he demonstrated the cross, there's a canyon. You know, they drew a picture in the book. There's a canyon. And you can't jump across that canyon. You can't go down and up that canyon. The only way you can go across that canyon is because the cross lays like this on the canyon. So, you know, God over here, man over here. You got this big chasm which you can't cross. But when he explained the cross, Jesus on the cross gave man the right to go to God. And then it just, I go, wow. So I asked Jesus into my life. I was just crying and all this kind of stuff. And well, come to find out, the guy that owns the gas station, he's a Christian, his wife's a Christian, his son's a Christian. They're all Christians, you know, you see. And God brought me to that position. And then I was good for about a year. I really was. You know, I was doing really well. You know, but like the parable of the sower, you know what I mean? Some seed fell here, and some seed fell there, and some seed started to take root, or, you know, started to grow, but it had no root. That was me. I believed in Jesus. I accepted Christ, but I wasn't living for Christ. So I started to go back to my old ways, you know. Motorcycles, hard stuff, you know, the drugs, you know, alcohol, all the stuff that just gets you in trouble, which is useless as can be, but that's where I was at, you see, because I was afraid to stand up and say, no, I'm following Jesus. I don't care what you do or you do, but I'm following Jesus. So I didn't, and as time went on, it got worse and worse and worse. I was working on a job in Long Beach. I was driving home, and I heard this song on the radio. Some of you younger people probably remember Barry McGuire saying what was the name of the song about the world? Eve of Destruction, yes. Well, Barry sang a song called I Love You, Lord. And the words just melted my heart, because I knew as I was going down the freeway smoking marijuana joint that what I was doing was wrong, but I couldn't stop. And I told Jesus, I'm not coming back until I change. And Barry come on the radio, he sang this song, I love you, Lord, and you know I always meant to do things right. You know, and it's like, the words just spoke my heart. I love you, Lord, you know, and it just, and I couldn't believe it. So I knew I had to do something, and I was going through a divorce, and I was living in a motel room. I rented an apartment, but it wasn't ready yet, so I had to live in a motel for about a week till a friend from church said I could go live with them and him and his wife for the next couple of weeks. Anyways, I was in a motel room, and my daughter, my biological daughter, wanted to come stay with me. Well, I was embarrassed. I didn't want her to come over there. You know what I mean? I knew what I was doing was wrong, and I was in there. Anyways, I let her come. And she says, Dad, I go, what? She goes, are we going to go to church tomorrow? And I looked at her, and I go, you know, Erica, I go, let me call Larry, which was my friend that said I'd go live with them for a while. If him and Jamie, which is a girl that my daughter used to play with, his daughter, if they're going to church, we'll go. And you know how God worked? My daughter put her finger right in my chest, and she started crying. She goes, you know what? Basically, you're a phony. You only want to go to church if Larry goes. And it was like, you know, just stick the knife in and twist. And I go, you know what, Erica? You're right. I go, we'll go to church, me and you, tomorrow. So we went. And I don't know if you've ever been to Calvary Chapel in Riverside in Southern California, but it's a huge church, holds 3,500, has three services in the morning. And Greg was given the message, Greg Laurie, and he gave an altar call. A bunch of people come down, about 20, 30 people or whatever, 40 people. And he goes, you guys go over to this room. We got some counselors. They'll give you a Bible to get you started in your walk with Christ. And then, and he's going to end the service like you normally do. And I go, phew, I made it, you know. You know, there comes a point in time, like I've always said, you know, God will give you the rope. If you want this, God will give it to you. Go ahead, take it. But there's going to come a time in your life where you have to make a decision, yes or no. There's no middle ground. You come to the end of that rope, you either let go and fall forever, or you climb back up the rope and go to God, right? Well, he brought me to that position. Here I was. Greg gave the message, like I said. And he goes, you know what? I was going to close the service, he says, but God's telling me that there's people here that have backslidden. He goes, I don't know who you are, but God knows who you are. And you know who you are. You know what that's like? You know, your Adam's apple swells up. And you're trying to be pious. You know, you're trying to be godly out there, all these people around you, because, you know, you know you're wrong, but you're so stubborn you won't do nothing. You know, you will stand on that. I'm a man. I'm tough. I can handle this, right? I started to choke up. And he goes, you know, if that's you, I want you to stand up right where you're at. And I'm thinking, oh, God, 3,500 people. I'm going to stand up in the middle of this crowd and say, it's me. Here I am. I'm the guy. But you know what? The Holy Spirit tugged at my heart. And I was tired of running. I was tired of running. And God was chasing me. He put people in my way all down through the 9 years that I backslid. The things in my life to make me see that, Manny, I love you. I gave my life for you. You need to change. You need to come to me so that I can change you. See, I thought I could change me, but I couldn't. Anyway, I stood up, and when I stood up, it was just, I can't tell you how great it felt. I mean, chains just felt like they were falling off of my body everywhere. I was free. I was free. God had delivered me from me, from my sin, from me. And my life has never been the same. That's when he brought Patty in my life. You know, we have six beautiful children between the two of us. We have 14 grandchildren. We had 15, but one got killed in an accident. And he's still our grandson, you know, and we love him, but he's with the Lord now, and it's just, God has done some amazing things. And here I am, I'm thinking, you know, you want me to speak? I'm like Moses. I ain't got the education for that, God. I don't have the wisdom for all of this in the Word, but you know what? God started telling me, stop reading. Greg Laurie said, hey, if you've never read the Bible completely through, and that's for everybody in this building right here today, you need to do that. You need to do that. You know what it took for me to read the Bible completely through? I mean, you might as well just cut my legs off, because I hate reading. I am not a reader. I never liked school. I learned by seeing or someone talking to me, you know. If I buy a project or something like that, all I got to do is look at the picture. And God has given me that talent to put things together. Just well, I don't have to read all the information. You know, ask my wife. She'll tell you. I don't know how I have this. Well, I know how I have it. God gave it to me. But it's just what I'm trying to say is that, man, if we will only pay attention, we could have so much joy in our life that we can't believe it, you know. And the things that God has done. So Patty comes to me one day. We're not married or anything yet. We know each other. And I saw her way across the church coming in the door. I go, Lord, that's a beautiful woman. She's really pretty. A week later, I come to church on Sunday morning, and she's sitting right next to me. Yeah, that's how God does it. He brought her right to me. You know, I didn't have to go chase her and this and that. And, you know, he brought her right next to me. But I was still too dumb to see, you know. And over time, you know, God showed us. And like I said, he just blessed us. It's just amazing. Well, she comes to me. She goes, hey, you know what? The Lord's telling me to have a Bible study at my house. Do you want to come? I go, sure. I go, yeah, I'd love to come. I go, who's going to teach? She goes, I don't know. I go, you know, what are you going to, you know, what book are we going to, I don't know. So I go, okay. I said, well, I'll show up. So I show up. She's there. And there's a kid down the street, Mike Burke. He shows up, and a couple of people, about four or five of us. And we're looking at everybody. It's like, oh, it was a great Bible study. So I said, who's going to talk here? You know, and then God spoke to my heart, and he goes, why don't you do it? It's like, I don't know anything about the Bible. I don't know nothing. Anyways, we just took the book of Romans, and we started reading through it, and we just started open discussion, and next thing you know, that Bible study grew to about 26 people. And, you know, there's people in there that are well more educated than I am, or was, still am. But Greg said to read the Bible, so I started reading the Bible, and I'm telling you, it was like pulling teeth. And then about a year later, I finally made it through. What a relief that was. I mean, it was like such an accomplishment in my life, I couldn't believe it. I go, I actually read the whole Bible. I don't understand it all, but I read it. You know, now it's been about five times, and I'm going through again. So I highly recommend that you read it all the way through. Genesis to Revelation, whether you understand it or not, because you're not going to understand the whole thing, but God's going to give you what you need out of the Word, wherever it is in the Word at that particular time. And you're going to read through it again, and there's going to be things that you didn't see the first time that all of a sudden pop off the page at you again. It's like, what? I didn't see this, you know. So we need to take it seriously. And we need to realize that from Genesis to Revelation, God has always had a plan. Satan has always tried to interfere. But we win. You know, how many times have you heard it? We win. So sit back, relax, and watch the salvation of God on you, right? Like Moses said. You didn't part the Red Sea. I sure as heck didn't part the Red Sea. I can't even part my hair anymore, so, you know, how could I part the Red Sea, you know, but it's just, it's incredible, you know, it's incredible, it really is. And I'm telling you, I could tell you a lot of things that God has done through Patty and I. It just blows me away, you know. And I've led 2 or 3 Bible studies, and it's like, I don't know how God does it. I don't know how God does it. God moved me up here. I didn't have a job. The renter wasn't paying the rent on the house we owned down in Southern California. Patty finally got a job working for minimum wage, you know. And so we had an $800 payment in Loomis that we rented a house in Loomis. And we had the payment down in Southern California. And everything we had was, it's like, but you know what? I waited on the Lord. She waited on the Lord. And God's blessed us. I don't know how we made the payments. I don't know how we got through, but we always did. You know, God always brought us through. And all God wants from you is to say, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. You know, my heart is with you, Lord, and only you. And God changes. When I have an argument with my honey over there, you know, I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose if I think I'm going to argue with her and win, because God's saying, no, you're not going to argue with her. You're going to love her. You're going to care for her. You're going to protect her. And you're going to do what I tell you to do, and I will take care of her. So if I get upset or she gets upset, I go, you know what, Lord? You deal with her, because I can't. And she does, and she does the same thing. You know? Well, you know, it's like arguing with a defense lawyer, right? You're not going to win. You know, the DA is going to win, because that's his job. And our job is not to tell people, to pick on people, to criticize people, all this other stuff. Our job is to what? 2 rules. 2. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, you wouldn't starve yourself, would you? At least I sure wouldn't. I mean, you can tell, right? So that's what you need to do. So quit procrastinating and do it. You know the old saying, just do it. Not drink a beer, not go lie to your wife, not go whatever you're going to do, rob somebody. You know, just do what God wants you to do. And how are you going to find out what God wants you to do? Prayer and supplication. Right? Make all your requests known unto God. And what happens? God gives you the answer. And what happens when he gives you the answer? You come through with an A instead of a D minus, like I did in high school all the time. You know? So it's up to you, just like it was up to Moses and all the other ones through the down through Noah. Think about it. God says, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Right? This is how I want you to build it. Because it's going to rain. Manny, I want you to tell your neighbor about Jesus. Because the end is coming. He didn't tell Noah when it was going to come. He didn't tell Noah how it was going to come. He just said it was going to come, and this is what you're going to do. You're going to build an ark, and you're going to build it the way I tell you to build it, and you're going to tell the people that it's going to rain, that there's going to be a flood. And you know the ark door was open, all the animals, Noah and all the people got in. Those other people out there, they could have changed. They could have got on the ark if they wanted to, but they didn't want to. And when God closed the door, that was the end. Just like the end of the world. When Christ comes, that's the end. There's no more getting on the train. You know, so we need to really see that in our lives. And I'm not here, I'm not trying to put anybody, you know, in a guilt trip. I'm just trying to say that God's trying to reach us. And this is how he reaches us, right here in the Word. Pray, read, sing psalms. Whatever it takes. You're feeling miserable? Sing psalms. You're depressed? Sing psalms. Force yourself to sing psalms. And what happens? God uplifts you. Why does he uplift you? Because he loves you. And he wants you to have joy and peace in your life. And you have a choice. That's what's neat about serving God. You know, he's not forcing you, you know. I could bring you up here with a belt and make you do things, but, you know, that's not loving you. But God loves you. And he's willing to do whatever it takes to make you see that he's in love with you. And he created you to have fellowship with him so that you would have peace and joy in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And Lord, we thank you for your message, Father. Lord, help us to obtain this in our lives, Lord. To be serious about our walk with you, Father. To serve and obey you, Lord. To worship and to praise you, Lord. To glorify you and exalt you, Jesus. To be people after your own heart, Father. That we bring you praise and glory in all things. Wherever we go, whatever we say, whatever we do, Father. That we love and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.